Yashoda Nandana अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की नामाचार्य श्रील हरिदास ठाकुर की प्रेम से कहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद की श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपीनाथ श्याम कुंड राधा कुंड गिरि गोवर्धन की ब्रज भूमि श्री वृंदावन धाम की पुरुषोत्तम क्षेत्र श्री जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की गंगमयी की जय, यमुनामयी की जय, भक्ति देवी की जय, तुलसी देवी की जय, ग्रंथराज श्रीमद भागवतम की जय, कलियुगपावन हरिनाम संकीर्तन की जय, हरे कृष्ण महामंत्र की जय। All glories to assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we will continue the prayers of Prahlad Maharaj. We have discussed up to the 20th verse. In the first five verses, verse number 8 to 12, Prahlad Maharaj prepares himself to offer prayers. He says that when so many exalted demigods and sages failed to pacify you, how can I pacify? Second, he says that actually no material qualification can pacify you, can satisfy you. Only bhakti can do it. And if that bhakti is there in a dog eater also, you are impressed with him. And if a well-qualified brahmana who has all 12 qualifications, if he does not have bhakti, you are not very impressed with him. And whenever we make some offering to you, it is for our benefit, not that you are getting benefited by it. So keeping aside all my conceptions of being unqualified, I will offer prayers. So that's how Prahlad prepared himself to offer prayers. That is the gist of the first five verses. In the next three verses, next two verses actually, 13 and 14, Prahlad Maharaj said that the demigods are not fearful like us when they see you. And your pleasing incarnations are meant to cause fearlessness to everyone. And now your present form is causing fear. It is supposed to cause fearlessness. So if you just withdraw your Ugra Rupa, if you give up your anger, then we can celebrate your form as the most supreme form that can cause fearlessness in everyone. Okay. Next, from 15th verse till 22nd verse, in these 7-8 verses, Prahlad Maharaj was seeking the Supreme Lord's shelter. First he said, in the 15th verse, I am not afraid of your form. Your form is very fearful, but I am not afraid. In the next verse he says, I am afraid of samsara chakra. I am afraid of demonic association in this cycle of birth and death. So I am afraid of this whole conditioned life, so I need your shelter. I am not afraid of your form, but I am afraid of material existence. So I need your shelter. And he further elaborates the fierce face of this conditioned material existence in the 17th verse. In this world there are so many calamities, so many problems, dualities, and those material dualities have some remedies, but the remedies are more miserable than the miseries themselves. Okay, yes, smart priya, priya vyoga, samyoga, janma. In the 18th verse, he says that so to come out of this miserable conditioned life, the only solution is to perform bhakti yoga, and that too, to glorify the Supreme Lord following in the footsteps of parampara. Okay, so aham priyasya suhrdaha paradevataya leela katha stavatra sindha virincha geeta. Okay, and he further says, you are the only shelter. Balasya neha sharanam pitaro nrisimha. A child cannot be protected by parents. A patient cannot be protected by a medicine. A drowning man cannot be protected by a big boat. But Lord Narasimhadev can offer protection at all times to anyone. One who is neglected by the Lord cannot be protected by any other elaborate material arrangement. Then in the 20th verse, he said, my dear Lord, your energies manifest everything in this entire cosmos. Okay. All the grammatical forms primarily indicate Krishna, and everything and everyone is primarily related to Krishna, and all other relations are only secondary, tertiary, later. Vyasaki Prabhu says once. Sarvadharman parityajya mam ekam sharanam vraja. Mam ekam means keep me number one. Keep all other your obligations like family, house, home, employees, many other things that you may have. Keep them number two, number three, number four, number five, like that. Keep me number one. Mam ekam. So, all grammatical forms primarily indicate Krishna. 21st sloka. Maya maya manasrijati karma mayam baliyah kalena chodita guna anumatena pumsah chindomayam yad jayarpita shodasharam samsara chakramajako titaritva danyah Can someone read the translation?
O Lord, O Supreme Eternal, by expanding your plenary portion, you have created the subtle bodies of living entities through the agency of your external energy, which is agitated by time. Thus the mind entraps the living entity in unlimited varieties of desires to be fulfilled by Vedic directions of Karmakand, fruitive activity, and the 16 elements. Who can get free from this entanglement unless he takes shelter of your lotus feet?
So there are some Vedic processes like Karmakanda and all. So they are meant to gradually elevate a conditioned soul. They are meant to be doing that job. However, they are all substandard processes. They are recommended keeping the conditioned mentality of the conditioned soul in mind. But ideally speaking, they are not the ultimate processes. Okay. So even they can also entangle if you just stick to that. And if they are meant for gradual elevation, if one is not getting elevated, if it is stuck to that only, if it is just attached to the enjoyment that comes from those processes, then there is further entanglement. Attachment leads to entanglement. Maya manaha srijati karmamayam baliyaha kalena chodita gunayana matiyana umsaha. So this karmamayam. Kalena chodita. Kalena chodita means instigated by time. What is instigated by time? Gunas. Gunanumatiyena pumsaha. So time is instigating the material modes, and that overall material illusory energy, maya, is entrapped in the conditioned souls. Right. So chandomayam, and there are some Vedas, Vedic prescriptions, they are there, but when people are not mature enough to understand the essence of the Vedas and then stick to the external rituals only, then again they are entangled. Okay. Vedaischa sarvair ahameva vedyo vedantakrit veda videva chaham. The essence of Vedas is to know Krishna. By studying all the Vedas, I am to be known, Krishna says clearly. If one is not coming to that end, and then just getting entangled in this Vedic karmagandic processes only, he is not actually utilizing the Vedic knowledge. And samsara chakra is there. So, only the Supreme Lord's shelter can liberate us from this maya, from this entanglement. Okay. So, thus mind entraps the jiva in unlimited desires to be fulfilled by Vedic directions. And who can get free of this wheel of samsara unless he takes shelter of Lord Narasimha Dev? So Prabhupada writes, the living entity's actions are actually contrary to his real goal. In the hand of Supreme Personality of Godhead, if the hand of Supreme Personality of Godhead is present in everything, where is the question of being liberated from material entanglement? Okay, to spiritual blissful life. Now, everything is a manifestation of Lord's energy. In the previous verse, Prahlad Maharaj said it. Now, in this verse, he is saying that energy is binding the conditioned soul. If everything is manifested by the Lord only, where is the question of getting liberated from that which is created by the Lord? Problem is within the mind. So, one gets attached, one gets a wrong perspective of what he sees. In this material world, there are so many objects that can give some material enjoyment, and one becomes attached to that material enjoyment without understanding the essence of it. So problem is not the material world. Problem is the materialistic conditioned soul's attachment to the material enjoyment in this material world. Okay. Otherwise, yesterday we were discussing that Vishnam Purna Sukhayate Vihimahindra Vishtikitayate. If one does not have that misidentification and enjoyment spirit, then the material world is not a cause of entanglement for such a person. He can be jivan mukta. Although he is living in this world, he can still be considered liberated. But because of undue attachment and misidentification, there is entanglement. So Krishna is the source of everything. Aham sarvasya prabhavo matva sarvam pravartate. And even the material nature is also running on the direction of the Lord. Maya dhikshena prakritihi suyate scharacharam. Okay. So the wheel of repeated birth and death is created by the Lord. But to direct the bewildered living entity in the progress towards liberation, according to variegated stages of advancement, different directions are given in Vedas, Sindhuamayam. But the real purpose of Vedas is to direct one back to Godhead. Don't just get entangled there only. Okay? One should not... For example, somebody is making the medicine for the patient. The doctor is making the medicine for the patient. And the medicine is somehow bitter. So the doctor is trying to put a sugar coating on top of the medicine. So, okay, let me mix some sugar or something sweet or something palatable with the medicine so that the patient can have better experience while eating it. Okay, then he will get cured. So, to make the medicine sweeter and then palatable, if he is putting so many things that overpowers the medicine itself, or he will just put only sugar coating this and that and there is no medicine, he forgets to put the medicine inside only. The patient will have a sweet experience of eating some sugar, but he doesn't get cured, he is not cured. So one should follow the Vedic rituals by understanding the purpose of Vedic rituals. Okay? One should not just blindly, sentimentally just follow. Prabhupada writes, real purpose of Vedas is to direct one back to Godhead. But the living entity, not knowing the real goal of life, wanders throughout the universe, imprisoned in various places, engaging in various activities, for which he must suffer reactions. Brahmanda Brahman is going on. Ultimate conclusion is, one must surrender to the principles of Bhakti Yoga, then one will gradually attain liberation. No other method of liberation from material struggle is at all possible. The ultimate last line, Prabhupada writes, last four lines. So, Nate viduhu swartha gatim hi Vishnum, we discussed yesterday. Durashayaye vahir artha maninaha. This verse, this purport is purport to that verse also, it looks like. So, durashayaya, because of being over ambitious, bahir artha maninaha. The conditioned soul considers what which is external, insubstantial, that he considers to be artha, purposeful, meaningful, useful, right? So, because of this durasha. So, natyavidhu sva artha gatim hi Vishnum, he doesn't know that his real goal is Vishnu. Okay? So, as long as people are in such a deep ignorance of their real interest, all their actions are contrary to their own goal. Their goal is what? So, arthagatim is what? Vishnu. The real attainable goal of every living entity, especially every human being, is Vishnu only. But some of their activities are not towards the goal. For example, somebody has to go from Pune to, say, Mumbai. So, there is a path. So, you need to travel on that path. So, if you travel in that path, you may reach Mumbai in, say, 3 or 4 hours. Right, depending on the mode of transport and all. But you travel in that direction for 1 hour and then take a left turn and then go somewhere else, you go to Lonavala and then see all the hills and mountains, this and that, and then come back. Okay? And 2 hours is lost. Again you travel in that direction. Again you take a detour and then go somewhere else and then come back. Or you take a detour by which you will lose your way to Mumbai and then you will go to, say, Nasik. Right? So, your goal is to reach Mumbai, but sometimes because we take left turn, right turn, U-turn, detour, this and that, we may not reach Mumbai. So, the way we are driving the vehicle sometimes is against our own destination, against our own goal of reaching our destination. That's what materialistic conditioned soul is always doing. His goal is to reach Vishnu, go back to Godhead, serve Krishna, please Krishna. But apart from that, he is doing so many 100 other things which are diverting him from that goal. So, one has to lit fire and the fire is glowing. And his aim is so that the fire will just glow nicely. And meanwhile, he is just taking some mug of water and then pouring it into the fire. The fire is going down. Again, he is litting. So, his goal is to see a big fire, huge fire, but he by his putting water, the fire is getting diminished. Right? extinguished. So materialistic conditioned soul does so many activities contrary to his own goal, as Prabhupada writes in this. So one has to take shelter. So by taking shelter of the Lord Narasimhadev, one can be liberated from Maya. Because the Lord is the controller of Maya. So who can pick us up from the dark well? Only someone who is outside of the well can pick up. He says that in the 22nd verse. Sattvam hi nitya vihita atma guna swadhamna. Kalovashikrita visrujya visarga shakti. Chakre visrishta majayeshvara sonasyare. Nishpidya manam pakarsha vibho prapannam.
My dear Lord, O Supreme Great, you have created this material world of 16 constituents, but you are transcendental to their material qualities. In other words, these material qualities are under your full control and you are never conquered by them. Therefore, the time element is your representation. My Lord, O Supreme, no one can conquer you. As for me, however, I am being crushed by the wheel of time. And therefore, I surrender unto you. Now kindly take me under the protection of your lotus feet.
Here, Prahlad Maharaj is saying that the Supreme Lord is beyond the control of material nature, material qualities. In the prayers of Dwarakavasis also, they say that first canto, 11th chapter, 6th verse. Natasmate natha sadandhri pankajam virincha vairincha surendra vanditam parayanam kshema mihechatam param nayatra kalaha prabhavet parah prabho. Nayatra kalaha prabhavet parah prabho means the kala does not have prabhava on this prabhu. Okay? Kala has prabhava over everything, but on this prabhu, on prabhu is Krishna. Here. So, on Krishna, time cannot exert its influence. So, someone who is influenced by the time factor so much, such a person should take shelter of some person who is not influenced by the time factor. So, Prahlad described in the previous verse that everybody is influenced by the time factor and gunas, maya. So, to come out of that entanglement, one has to take shelter of Krishna. Okay, because he is not entangled by Maya. So he is the controller of Maya, Maya Dhakshena Prakriti. The time element is only his representation. Okay. I am being crushed by the wheel of time. So the last line is very striking. Nishpidya manam upakarsha vibho prapannam. This should be the prayer of everyone, of ordinary conditioned souls. Nishpidya manam means we are being crushed. Like sugar cane. You take a piece of sugar cane and put it in the machine. So two thick iron, thick fat iron, logs or whatever. So they are crushing. They are not having a plain surface. They have some sharp surface. And in a plain surface, if you crush, that's a different thing. So if they are in, they have some sharp spokes, right? So like that, every living entity is unconsciously being crushed by the wheel of time like that. It's like sugarcane juice. Okay, nishpidyamanam upakrasha vibho prapannam. Prabhupada elaborates on this word nishpidyamanam. Every living entity in material condition is actually being crushed again and again. Nishpidyamanam. Because the sugarcane is kept once. Then the fellow will just fold it and then again put. Again fold it and again to squeeze out. Right? So like that, repeatedly being crushed. Okay. So every living entity is crushed like that. That is called nishpidyamanam, upakrasya. Vibho prapannam. Prapannam means surrendered. So although we are being crushed by the wheel of time, if we take shelter of Krishna, if we become prapanna, then the Lord will protect us. Because this prapanna, tapo pashamata patram. You know that verse from the third canto. नमाम ते देव पदार विंदम प्रपन्न तापोप शमात पत्रम यद मूल केता यतयंग सेरु संसार दुखम भिक्षुपन्ति. ओके, वी कैन ओपन दैट वर्स, थर्ड कैंटो फिफ्थ चैप्टर आई थिंक. नमाम ते देव डिवोटीज आल्सो कैन रीड दैट वर्स. नमाम ते देव पदार विंदम संसार दुःखं बहिरुक्षिपन्ति. नमाम ते देव पदारविंदं. माय डियर लॉर्ड, वी ऑफर ओबेसेंसेस अंटू योर लोटस फीट. प्रपन्न, हूएवर टेक शेल्टर ऑफ दिस लोटस फीट, प्रपन्न తాప ఉపశమ ఆతపత్రం. ఆల్ ది మెటీరియల్ మిజరీస్ ఆర్ కమింగ్ లైక్ హ్యూజ్ రెయిన్ఫాల్ ఆన్ టాప్ ఆఫ్ మెటీరియలిస్టిక్ కండిషన్ సోల్స్. సో దే నీడ్ ఏ ప్రాపర్ అంబ్రెల్లా, అదర్వైజ్ దే బికమ్ వెట్ విత్ దోస్ మిజరీస్. సో తాప ఉపశమ ఆతపత్రం. ఆతపత్రం మీన్స్ దిస్ అంబ్రెల్లా. ద షెల్టర్ ఆఫ్ ది లార్డ్స్ లోటస్ ఫీట్ విల్ యాక్ట్ లైక్ అన్ అంబ్రెల్లా దట్ ప్రొటెక్ట్ అస్ ఫ్రమ్ రెయిన్ ఆఫ్ మెటీరియల్ మిజరీస్. ప్రపన్న తాపోపశమాత పత్రం. Okay, that's the meaning of this verse. Yad mulaketa yatayonja soru. If one takes shelter of that lotus feet of the Lord, anjasa, very easily, uru samsara dukkham. Dukkham is difficulties, miseries or distress. Samsara dukkham, which is uru, very fearsome materialistic miseries, are tom, bahir utkshupanti. Bahir means bahar, outside. Utkshupanti means throwing away. Now you find some dirt in your room, kachra, in your room. You just pick them up and throw it away outside the house. Like that, if one takes shelter of Krishna's lotus feet, he'll pick up all material things like this and then throw them outside. Samsara dukkham bahirutkshupanti. Right? He'll not be entangled by those miseries. He'll throw away those miseries. Get lost. You can't be with me. So when will he get that strength? He gets the strength by taking shelter of Krishna. Prapanna. There are several qualities of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You can open 11th canto, 5th chapter. Again, Prapanna word comes there. Prapanna Pala. 11.5.35 open. Pranaka Pala. How does it begin? Pranatapala 11.735, what is this verse? 1 minute. Next verse. After that. Next. 38. Which one you have seen? Next verse we go. There are two verses about Lord Chaitanya's Devarshi Bhutata for this. Okay, next. I think it went before only. Krishna Varnam Tusha Krishna Yoga. It may be in 32, 31 somewhere. 31? 32? And then you open 33. Yeah, Dheyam Sada. How can you forget? So once you remember the first word, then you can remember the rest. భృత్యార్తిహం ప్రణతపాల భవాధిపోతం వందే మహాపురుషతే చరణా Dheyam Sada. One should always meditate upon the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya. This is specifically about Lord Chaitanya. Vande Mahapurushate Charanaravindam. That Mahapurusha is Mahaprabhu. Okay. So one should meditate on that lotus feet. What will happen? There are several aspects. Dheyam Sada, if you meditate always. Paribhavaghnam. Paribhava means parabhav, insult. Paribhava Ghanam means we will come out of that situation of being insulted by material energy. The material energy, the illusory energy of Krishna, Maya, is constantly insulting the conditioned soul. Okay? Parabhava. Apman. Apman kar rahe. Right? So, that constant insult means constantly the conditioned soul is being overwhelmed by this adhyatmika, adhibhautika, adhidevika kleshas. So, one should come out of those kleshas. Right? One should take shelter of Lord Krishna, one should take shelter of the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya or Narasimhadev, and then come out of that insulted situation. It's not very pleasant to be insulted by someone. Right? But if material world is constantly insulting us, but the conditioned soul is considering that insult to be honor. So the illusory energy insults the conditioned soul in such a way that the conditioned soul perceives that insult or dishonor as great honor. It's a great honor and privilege to be insulted by Maya. That's his conception, unconsciously, like that. So, Paribhava Ghanam, first we need to realize that we are being insulted. For a pure spirit soul who can love Krishna and who can serve Krishna and associate with Krishna in the spiritual realm, for such a pure soul to be entrapped in this material body which is made of earth, water, fire, air, ether, which is nothing but a bag of urine, blood, stool, mucus, bile, nerves, bones and all other abominable substances, right? That's such an insult. Just to be in the material body itself is a great insult. And on top of it, the material world constantly distracts the conditioned soul. Prahlad will say a little later. Every sense is coming and distracting the conditioned soul. What he is supposed to be doing and what is he doing? It's like a multimillionaire going and begging on the street. Right? And it's much worse than that. It's an understatement. Okay? For someone who is supposed to be in the spiritual realm is being insulted by Maya like this. So if one takes shelter of Lord Narasimhadev's lotus feet or Lord Chaitanya's lotus feet, that Paribhava Ghanam. Abhishta Doham. Second aspect is Abhishta Doham. What is Abhishta? Desire. Heartfelt desire. The heart's longing. What exactly is the longing of any soul's heart? Love of God. So Abhishta Doham means not fulfilling some material desire. This Abhishta is love for Krishna, and that is bestowed by Lord Chaitanya's mercy. Okay. So when one takes shelter of Krishna, Krishna's lotus feet, he will be pulled out of the material miseries and he will be given love of Godhead. Paribhava Ghanam Abhishta Doham. And Tirthaspadam. Lord's lotus feet are like play. It's the they are the shelter of all holy places, Tirthaspadam. And Shiva Virinchi Nutam. Lord's lotus feet are worshipped by great demigods like Shiva and Brahma also. Sharanyam. If anything that is worth taking shelter of, it is only Krishna's lotus feet. Sharanyam. Next word is what? Bhrityartiham. Bhritya artiham. Arti means distress. Bhritya means servant. Who is servant? Ekalaishara Krishna, Arhava Bhritya. Everyone else is a servant of Krishna. So, but some servants are entrapped in this material world. And those servants do not know that they are servants. They are falsely thinking that they are masters, controllers, proprietors and enjoyers. So, that conception itself is an arti. So, Bhritya Artiham. So, the misery of the conditioned soul is stolen by the Lord's shelter. Bhrityartiham. Pranata Pala. Pranata means if you surrender into Krishna, if you take shelter of Krishna, Pala, the Lord will protect us. Pranata Pala can mean anything, something else also. Acharya is writing the purport. Pranata means just by doing pranam, the Lord will protect us. Pranata can mean taking shelter. Pranata can also mean just offering pranams. So he is so merciful that just by offering pranams to the Lord, he can protect us. Pranatapala bhavabhipotam. The Lord's lotus feet are like the boat that can make the conditioned soul cross over this material existence. Right? Yatpada pankajapalasa vilasa bhaktya. After that, He doesn't know swimming also, and there are so many sharks. What are the sharks? The uncontrolled senses, all the anarthas. Okay. So the Lord, and how to bring him out? He cannot swim on his own and reach the shore. A boat has to come and pick him up and put in the boat and then quickly take him to the shore of the ocean. That boat is Krishna's lotus feet. Okay. Narasimhadev's lotus feet. Then the boat will not only help us cross over the material ocean. This boat is a very magical boat. The boat will condense the ocean. The boat will make the ocean as small as a calf's footprint. You know that verse, right? In Brahma Mohan Lila Lashes. What is that verse? Yet, samashritaye padapallavaplavam mahatpadam punya ishomurare. Bhavambudhir vatsa padam param padam 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 yad vipadam natesha. So the Lord's lotus feet will act like a boat that makes us cross over this material existence, and the material existence in the ocean itself will become smaller if we take shelter of Lord's lotus feet. So Prahlad is emphasizing, I think we went on a tour of all cantos, similar references. So here Prahlad is saying that because the Lord is controller of Maya, by taking shelter of the Lord's lotus feet, one can come out of this Maya. Nishpidyamana upakarsha vibho prapannam. That's the importance of taking shelter. That is the necessity of surrender. Prabhupada writes in this purport, in the 22nd purport, Maya continuously imposes upon conditioned souls suffering of three miseries. Therefore, Prahlad prayed in the 19th verse, but for your lordship, no one can save me. Therefore, suffering humanity must surrender into Krishna, as he himself demands. Sarva dharman parityajya mamekam sharanam vraja. Okay. Next, why one has to take shelter of Krishna only to get out of Maya? We already discussed that he himself is not entangled. That's why he can protect us. Prabhupada gives an example. A criminal is put into the prison house by the government. Government punishes a criminal for just disobeying some laws of the government, and then he's put into jail. Who can take him out of the jail? Only the government's laws can take him out of the jail. The government that has the power to put a person into the prison, that same government will have the power to take him out of the prison also. Similarly, we must know conclusively that our material condition of suffering has been allotted to us by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If we want to be saved from this suffering, we must appeal to the same personality of Godhead, same controller. Thus one can be saved from material condition. Okay. Only he has the power. No one else has the power to take us out of material entanglement. So Prabhupada's prayers and Prabhupada's purports are constantly repeating this one point, that by taking shelter of Krishna only, one can come out of this material existence. Otherwise, there is no other way. So, thus, from 15th verse till 22nd verse, Prahlad Maharaj expressed his mood to take shelter of the Lord. All these are shelter verses. Now, in the next three verses, 23, 24 and 25, Prahlad shares his experience of seeing the futility of material pleasures. These material pleasures are so insubstantial. I have full experience of it. You are this 5-year-old boy. What experience do you have? I have seen my father. A day before yesterday, we were discussing, right? Hiranyakashipu has done so many austerities. Lot of sense control and mind control he has done to get the boons from Brahma. And as soon as he got the boons from Brahma, all mind control is gone, sense control is gone. He became a victim of uncontrolled senses. The sense control before the boons became highly unrestricted sense gratification after getting the boons.
right? And did he become happy by that unrestricted sense enjoyment? No, he was always dissatisfied. And all that Prahlad was seeing. So, this Ayuhu, Shiryam, Vibhavam, these three things, long lifespan, which Hiranyakashipu got, Shriya, lot of wealth of three worlds, Hiranyakashipu got, Vibhavam, lot of influence, lot of controllership over all the people of three worlds, he got. But these three will give any enjoyment, will not actually give happiness to the heart. What actually gives happiness to the heart is not material accomplishments. It is the spiritual attitude. Right? What? How much love do we have? How much genuine devotion that one has towards Krishna? That makes him satisfied. Right? Pradhanand Maharaj says in one lecture, if one does not have the inner fulfillment, he constantly hankers for recognition from the outside world. Okay? One becomes too obsessed and he hankers for recognition, name, fame, and facilities from the external world when there is vacuum in the heart. If he is internally fulfilled, there is no need for him to hanker for recognition. And where will that inner fulfillment come from? Maharaj says that comes from sincerely relishing the glories of Krishna. If one takes pleasure in the qualities and glories and the holy names and the pastimes of Krishna, the heart is satisfied. And when the heart is fulfilled within, then he does not hanker for any recognition and many other name, fame, prestige, Ayuhu, Shriya, Vibhavam, etc., etc., from external world. Like that. So, Prahlad Maharaj elaborates on this theme. He says, Drishtamaya divi vibho khila dhishnyapanam Ayuhu, Shriya, Vibhava, Icchati, Yan, Yajjanoyam Yesmat pituhu kupitaha savijrumha tadbhru Vishpurchi te nalulita hasatu te nirastaha. Someone read the translation.
My dear Lord, people in general want to be elevated to higher planetary systems for a long duration of life, opulence and enjoyment. But I have seen all of this through the activities of my father. When my father was angry and he laughed sarcastically at the demigods, they were immediately vanquished simply by seeing the movement of his eyebrows. Yet my father, who was so powerful, has now been vanquished by you within a moment.
Drishta Maya, I have seen. I have personally seen. What? Divi Vibho Akhila Dhrishnyapanam. My father is the ruler of so many people, including the demigods. And Ayu, he has long lifespan. Shriya, he has lot of opulence. And Vibhava, he has the power of demigods also, which even people desire, regular people. Icchati, yajjanoyam. Icchati, yajjanoyam means people in general desire for all these things. Long lifespan, wealth, etc. I have seen all of that and my father had all these things profusely. But yesmat pituhu kupita hasa vijrumbhita bhru. When my father just moves his eyebrows like this, the demigods would be vanished. That is the power of his influence. Yet, vishpurjitena duritaha satute nirastaha. Yet, my powerful father has now been vanquished within you in a moment. Right? But if Krishna wants, he can just make the conditioned soul completely bereft of any pride or any prestige. Right? He may have hundreds and thousands of material possessions. He can become bankrupt within the blink of an eye. If Krishna wants. If the time factor does like that. Okay.
So one can never be proud of all his temporary achievements. If Hiranyakashipu has this kind of history, what to speak of some insignificant villains of this world. So Prahlad says, Charvatpada writes like this: I recognize you as the Supreme Lord because of your extraordinary power. He to whom I surrender will deliver me from samsara. Prabhupada writes, a Vaishnava can understand that nothing within the material world, powerful, opulent or influential, nothing of them can endure. At any time such things may be vanquished, and who can vanquish them? The Supreme Personality of Godhead. Okay. So therefore, what is recommended is Sarva Dharman Parityajya Mamekam Sharanam Vraja. Giving up all the other substandard religious principles, one should take shelter of Krishna. This Sarva Dharman Parityajya verse Prabhupada quoted several times in these few purports only. In the last few purports, you can see Sarva Dharman Parityajya in Prahlad's prayers, how many times he quoted. So basically, Prahlad Maharaj said, I have seen the futility of Ayuhu, Shriya and Vibhava, so I don't want them. So what do you want? If Narasimhadev asks like this, Prahlad gives a reply. Tasma dabum stanu bhritam ahama shishogna. Ayuh shriyam vibhava maindriyam avirinsyat. Mecha mite vilulitan uru vikramena. Kalatmanopanayamam nijabhritva parsvam. Tasma damum stanu bhritam ahama shishogna. Ayuh shriyam vibhava maindriyam avirinchyata. Mechhamite vilulitan uru vikramena. Kalatmanopanayamam nijabhritva parsvam. Prahlad says, I have full experience of the futility of worldly opulence, long lifespan, mystic power, etc., etc. What he said in the previous verse, he is repeating. Tasmadaham stanubhurtam aham asishogna. So, the material pleasures enjoyed by all living entities from Brahma down to the earth. Okay, all these great, great benedictions and privileges that they experience, they are all futile, they are all insubstantial. Na ichhami, I don't want them, Prahlad says. Ne ichhami te vilulita guru vikramena. By your power, by slight movement of your eyebrows, all that great, great things can be collapsed within a moment. So I do not desire them. What do you want? Kalatmanopanayama nija dhritva parshvam. All I desire is, I want to serve your pure devotee. Service to pure devotees is much, much greater benediction than getting ayuhu, shriya, vibhava. Okay. Nija dhritva parshvam. I want to be close to the devotee. I want to be on the side of your devotee and do what? And do service. That's understood. Okay. Nija dhritva parshvam. I just want to be around. Don't give me any seva, just I want to be around. Not like that. I want to be around and do some seva. Like that. So Prahlad is asking for Vaishnava seva. So one needs to learn from Prahlad's experience. Prabhupada says, all material opulence is perishable at every moment. Basically, one needs to watch out. One needs to contemplate and honestly introspect based on the directions given to us by Shastra. So Prahlad Maharaj has heard lot of knowledge, spiritual knowledge from Narada Muni, and he is absorbed in his bhajan. Simultaneously, he is also observing what's happening with the demons, what's happening with his father. Right? He is very observant. Okay, my father is so great, he could control the three worlds, but everything is vanished within a moment. Narasimhadev has smashed everything. Means all this is useless. Proved. Hence proved. My spiritual master said this, and it has happened.
So like that, if we just carefully watch out, we can see proofs, live proofs of the statements of Srimad Bhagavatam, statements of scriptures in this world. Right?
So somebody made that video, some celebrities, when they were young and when they become old.
Just few years, few decades passed and everything, that vibhava is gone.
Ayu shriya vibhavam, aindriyam avirinchad, everything is gone.
Right. So one can witness shastric statements in action in this world if one is observant. Otherwise, so many experiences come and pass right in front of our eyes, and then one could be stagnant there only, without upgrading his understanding, without increasing his conviction, right, on the shastric statements. So Prabhupada says, learn from Prahlad's experience. In this purport, he says that. He says, an intelligent man should therefore be concerned for happiness of spirit soul, not for the body. Shelter of pure devotee will save us from material nature's onslaughts. Chariya Vaishnava Seva Nistara Pai Chakeva. One should understand Krishna in truth, and this one can only do by serving a pure devotee. Even theoretical knowledge also will not help. Definitely one should develop knowledge, but that theoretical knowledge will become practical realization only by rendering service to Vaishnavas. You see, Vidura acquired a lot of knowledge from Maitreya. In the third canto, 7th chapter, Vidura asked several questions, especially about the Jiva Tattva and about the Supreme Lord, Ishvara Tattva. So, Maitreya Muni answered them. You remember that? 3rd canto, 7th chapter, we discussed it in Vidura classes also. Then after saying all that, Vidura thanked Maitreya profusely, and he said that I have understood this intellectually, but I can realize this knowledge, I can internalize this, I can assimilate this better only by rendering service to a pure devotee like you. You can open 3.7.18. 3.7.18, you see. Artha Bhavam Vinishchita. Read the translation loudly in the mic. Can someone read the translation?
But my dear sir, I am obliged to you because now I can understand that this material manifestation is without substance, although it appears real.
Although it appears real, material world is insubstantial. That we have heard from Prahlad's prayers. That Vidura also heard from Maitreya Muni's teachings. And in several places in Bhagavatam, we hear this. But when can we internalize this? When can we realize this? Read the next line.
I am confident that by serving your feet, it will be possible for me to give up the false idea.
So, the false idea that this material world is substantial, there is still some enjoyment in this material world. I am this body. All these false ideas, false conceptions could be mitigated only by serving lotus feet of pure Vaishnavas. We can go to the purport too. Okay. You can read the full purport.
The sufferings of the contingent soul are superficial and have no intrinsic value, like the cutting off of one's head in a dream.
If one's head is cut, can he see himself? No. But if it is a dream, he can see himself. Like that. I think we discussed elaborately. I will not elaborate on that.
Yet, although this statement is theoretically very true, it is very difficult for the common man or the neophyte on the transcendental path to realize practically. However, by serving the feet of great transcendentalists like Maitreya Muni and by constantly associating with them, one is enabled to give up the false idea that the soul suffers from material pangs.
So actually there is no suffering for the soul. Soul does not suffer. The suffering is there only when the soul misidentifies with the matter, with the material body. So, the suffering is caused by misidentification, not actually there. So, but to realize this, one needs to render service to the pure devotees. I am not this body, I am not connected to this body. Just the knowing it theoretically is insufficient, but by practically rendering service, we don't know, unknowingly,
without our knowledge, by being obedient and submissive to exalted devotees and rendering service to them, unknowingly we will realize. Okay. Now we can go to first canto, Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya verse 1.2.17. You see. Come down. 18, correct. Nityam Bhagavata, come down. In the purport, Prabhupada makes some statements. A devotee Bhagavata is as good as book Bhagavata because the devotee Bhagavata leads his life in terms of book Bhagavata. Before that, come down. There is one more paragraph. A devotee Bhagavata is a direct representative of Bhagavan. So by pleasing the devotee Bhagavata, one can receive the benefit of the book Bhagavata. So it's not just absorbing oneself in book Bhagavata. It is also rendering service to devotee Bhagavata, who has internalized the book Bhagavata. Human reason fails to understand how by serving the devotee Bhagavata or the book Bhagavata, one gets gradual promotion to the path of devotion. Human reason fails to understand how by rendering service to Bhagavatas, one can be elevated. So, this service I should do. But how is it connected to my spiritual advancement? Human reason fails to understand. Right? The service may seem very simplistic and very naive, and it could be distracting also. But if it is done by the bona fide instruction of a bona fide personality in the parampara, that has the potency to uplift a person from the conditioned state. So here Prahlad Maharaj is saying, I want to serve your devotees. Lord Narasimha Devi is standing right in front of Prahlad Maharaj, keeping his hand on top of his head. He says, I want to serve your devotee. That is the value of Vaishnava Seva. Okay. So one cannot superficially surpass the stage of Vaishnava Seva and think that I can directly render service to Krishna. Prabhupada writes in some purport that a disciple should not even think whether he is going back to Godhead or not. He should focus on the service given to him by Guru. Okay, forget whether he is going back, that is not his consideration. Okay, so here he wants to serve his pure devotee. Prahlad wants to serve Narasimhadev's pure devotee, although Narasimhadev is standing in front of Prahlad. Now, Prabhupada writes in this current purport, 24th verse. The illusory human civilization that perpetually endeavors for happiness through material advancement is rejected by Prahlad and those who strictly follow in his footsteps. So, bhukti, mukti, siddhi, Prabhupada writes all that. All who desire these are punishable in due course of time and they return to materialistic activities. Fine. We will go to another verse, one more verse. 25th. Yes,
Hare Krishna. So regarding this service part, I will tell you how my mind functions, mental dynamics. So we all understand Vaishnava Seva is important, and this point is repeated at several places, that one has to get the blessings of a pure devotee. And Prabhupada also very categorically write pure devotee only, like here also, and the other place also. So then the first thing which comes in mind is that, you know, people around me who are engaging are not pure devotees. So then the mind says, Srila Prabhupada is a pure devotee. I'm in this position, so that's okay. Then the second part of this comes that everything in our mission is a kind of service. You know, Prabhupada gave instruction for many things. Like, you know, he gave instruction for chanting more rounds also. He gave instruction for service to devotees also. He gave instruction for different kinds of services also, including construction, including book distribution, including preaching. So then there are many things for which he gave instruction, out of which I may have some preferences and likings and, you know, inclinations for that. So then I may do that and I may say, okay, I'm doing that. And then the people who are there, like immediate or the via medium through which the service or other things are coming, that is like considered that I also have an understanding because I am serving Prabhupada. He is a pure devotee. Other in between are not pure devotee people. So I am serving him and my things are authorized by him. By the quotes which are there in his books or by my understanding and all. So I continue to do that and, you know, render other things as a matter of either duty or whatever, because there may be consequences if I don't do that. So what exactly is this concept of serving a pure devotee is in our context, where we are in this mission where Prabhupada is surely a pure devotee, that nobody knows. So from there to bring it to a level where I am situated and I actually render service. So if you elaborate on that, it will be very nice to.
This question is actually often asked.
Yeah, often.
In various contexts, maybe the flavor may slightly change, but it's asked to me only by multiple times also. Okay. Yeah. Very popular question. Prabhupada is pure devotee. By serving him, we can internalize the statements of Bhagavatam, book Bhagavata, person Bhagavata. But the person whom I am reporting to, I may or may not trust him whether he is a pure devotee or not. So what am I supposed to do? And I feel that I can do this service in a better way based on Prabhupada's statements only. So there is a dilemma that somebody goes through. So as far as this self-inspiration, what is that called? Inner call. Yesterday evening also we were discussing something about it. So as far as one's internal inspiration to render some seva is concerned, not aligning to the immediate instruction given by the immediate authority. Okay. So as far as that is concerned, we need to see, we have the opulence of so many devotees around us. We don't have to do the austerity, we don't have to carry the burden of making a decision on our own. We have opulence of access to so many devotees around us. We can go and consult them. So I feel like, and like you may not believe that all these people are not pure devotees, but at least we have some trust and faith on some people, right? So they are representatives of pure devotees. Radhanand Maharaj says in 2007 Vyas Puja address, pure devotees are two types. Number one who is actually pure. Number two, one who is aspiring to be pure. One who is in the path of becoming pure in devotional service. Right? So he is also pure devotee. So the aspiration to become a pure devotee also makes one pure. He is pure in aspiration, although he is not yet perfect. So one can actually go and consult those devotees, right, whom we trust, and then just get our desire to render certain service evaluated. Okay, is it the right direction? Am I going in the right direction? Is it the right service to perform? The need of the hour is this, but I feel like doing this. Is it proper? We can always consult. And then we can get a direction. So as far as Vaishnava Seva is concerned, that part is it clear? Inner call, getting a confirmation from some senior person whom we trust. Right? So that makes our things bona fide. Okay. And second thing is the principle of Vaishnava Seva. The Vaishnavas may change whom we are serving, but the principle of Vaishnava Seva remains. So to my little limited understanding, any service which is authorized, if we do it with a sincere heart for the pleasure of Vaishnavas, Krishna is pleased with it and Vaishnavas are pleased with it, we get blessings. Right? So it's not necessarily for one particular Vaishnava or one particular service only. So the principle of Vaishnava Seva is important. So once in 2008, we were in VTA, in Chowpatty, Gauranga Prabhu gave a Bhagavatam class. So that statement that he made just has been the source of my inspiration in various ways throughout these years. He made one simple statement. You do some service and some Vaishnava gets pleased with that service. Okay. Whether he knows that you have done this service or not, whether you know that he is pleased or not, you will get blessings. Okay. Any service rendered with a sincere heart in the devotional circles, that will attract blessings. Okay. Recognition is secondary. Acknowledgement is secondary. Announcement is secondary. Right? Okay. And putting on the notice board or whatever, that is all secondary. That may happen sometimes, that may not happen sometimes. But when we do some Vaishnava Seva with a sincere heart, for example, 5,000 people are taking prasad in kitchen and then we are asked to cut sabji or just kadi patta. Just remove this. Okay. They will give you 2-3 tops. Okay, remove this. That's your seva, next 2-3 hours. Whoever is eating that prasadam, so the kadi patta went into dal. Okay, and some 1 or 2 sabjis. And whoever is eating prasadam, 500 people, 5,000 people, if they are all happy, you'll get blessings. So the super soul network will do the needful. When we do a sincere service, there is super soul in his heart also, super soul in her heart also, super soul in his heart also, super soul in my heart also, that network will do the needful. So I need to make sure that I should render service with proper consciousness, selflessness, to be selfless, without any personal motives. If I go into kitchen, I get this recognition, or I get this appreciation, or there are dusra bhi kaam ho bhi ho jayega usme, or I may get some mahaprasad. So all these things are there. So without any secondary motives, if one just dedicates one's time, mind, word and energy for rendering some service sincerely, one gets blessed. Does it make sense though? So Vaishnava Seva is basically service to Vaishnavas done in proper consciousness. And what is the nature of the service? It depends on time, place, circumstances. And who are the Vaishnavas? Depends on time, place, circumstances. So once one of our devotees, very senior devotees, I asked him, can you please do dressing of dressing tomorrow? I just asked like that. So, no, I don't know. So, whom will you dress? He said, anyone who may be saying. Some people are there, they can dress only Radharani, some people dress only Vrindavan Bihari, some people only Mahaprabhu, some people can do all. Whom do you want to dress? Anyone you feel like. No, Prabhu, I am giving you preference, please. A very senior devotee who came after a long time. Take a Radharani dress. Then, okay, fine. So, which dress you want? We have so many dresses. If you prefer some certain favorite color or something like that, you can just give your preference like that, he said. I asked. Then the devotee, like very effortlessly, spontaneously said, you are giving me the dressing seva. Actually, when we are doing this seva, the dress and the deity do not matter. Right? If you want to dress only certain deity, only in this dress, so you have something in mind, right? So dress and deity should not matter. Okay? If that is what is your primary concern and not the seva, then which deity you dress doesn't matter. Which dress you offer, that also doesn't matter. Okay? So, aradhito yadhari tapasata dhakkim, aradhito yadhari tapasata dhakkim. So, whom do you dress and what dress you offer, what jewelry you offer? It doesn't make any difference as far as your consciousness is not proper. When it is proper, then also they don't matter. Whether your consciousness is proper or improper, the dress and deity do not matter. Service matters. Service attitude matters. When he said effortlessly, I was a bit many years back. Yeah, any deity is fine with me, but any dress is not fine with me. I'm just honestly saying. I have my favorite colors. I have my preferences. I was thinking, I remember, too high consciousness for this. But anyways, let me try. I'll try to come to this stage one day. Okay. Like that. So service is to be done as per the need of the hour. Which Vaishnava? What is the flavor of the service? That should be secondary consideration. But if we are really inspired to render certain service, specific service for a specific Vaishnava, there's nothing wrong in expressing it. Or this could be two ways. Now you want to render a specific service to a specific Vaishnava, provided you have some relationship or you derive some inspiration from that Vaishnava. Second, you have some expertise and experience in that particular service. Then you can express, oh, I feel like doing this service to this Vaishnava, then it's all right. But even after your expression also, the need of the hour demands that you render service to so-and-so Vaishnava and so-and-so flavor, then we should be malleable enough to accept the other option. If there is a option, if there is a choice given to us to express our opinion, there's nothing wrong in expressing. This is more comfortable for me. If you give me that service, I won't be able to do justice. I don't have experience in it. So on those considerations, there is a choice of expression. But the need of the hour demands that, okay, you should do this only like that. So many people are already there. So you can't be doing that. And we want you to be here. We just be malleable. We just be flexible enough. Right? Next time we may get an opportunity. Or we may not get also. But I need to be flexible enough. So that's the point. So as far as our consciousness is, if we just keep a watch on our consciousness and then do the service, so which Vaishnava, which Seva shouldn't be of the primary concern. Like that. Does it make sense? Just few thoughts. Yes.
I have two questions around the same thing. He asked already, so going ahead. Is it that by serving Guru consciously, we will able to serve all other Vaishnavas with the same consciousness? It is the means by which to serve the Vaishnavas and Krishna. As I heard this from Altar Maharaj, faintly remembering, not clearly remembering. Because Bhagavatam is again and again speaking about pure devotee only. There is no compromise anywhere. Like yesterday, Sadhu Bhaktana. That is not Sadhu and Bhakta. Actually, Krishna Chakri Thakur is saying, Sadhu Bhaktas are the Vaishnavas with proper conduct. And Mahiya Sampadara Yogi Shekham Rahugana is Tatta Pasanayati. And it's like, everywhere it's very clear. Serving a pure devotee. Now coming to the point of who is a pure devotee. Like when I was new, for example. Now also I am new only, somewhat, but before more new. That time when I saw, for example, Revati Patiko, that time I would see him with some difference than now. So, like here it is mentioned by Srila Prabhupada, is that a devotee Bhagavat is as good as book Bhagavat. Because the devotee Bhagavat leads his life in terms of book Bhagavat. And the book Bhagavat is full manifestation of personality of Godhead and his pure devotees who are also Bhagavatas. So when like a person is progressing, he is seeing someone as personification of Bhagavat. But when both of them are going ahead, then he may see that, okay, he is very nice, but then someone else is more representing book Bhagavat. So it happens, at least in my life it's happening. So how is it that it's a pure devotee definition depends on where you are? Because it's changing. Everyone is reading book Bhagavat and he is practicing with his own sincerity, as you said. So is it that way, that it is not? Because even Vrajvasi, there is a difference between the devotees in Vaikuntha also. Like that Brihad Bhagavatamrita, there is levels of devotees. Like Hanumanji is glorified more than Dhruva Maharaj, Krishna Chakra. Now they are very exalted for us, agreed. But then there is difference there also. So is it that the pure devotee definition is based on
end of definition?
That's what actually Maharaj is saying, I think.
To my limited experience and understanding. It's not that pure devotee definition is subject to change. Okay? As far as I'm concerned, I heard from Radhanand Maharaj a couple of times that
One who is pure devotee is actually pure, and one who is aspiring to be pure. One who is sincerely endeavoring to be pure devotee, sincerely following the path of pure devotional service, right? Now, he may not be pure yet compared to one who has already reached the destination, right? So, but he is on the path, one should respect him. So now, you see, your next point is, Bhagavatam is saying serve pure devotees only. Okay? Yeah. Saying serve pure devotees only. Like, what is this? People who are on the path of pure devotion. That's the question mark. Right? So that's your question. But based on my little experience, serving those who are on the path of pure devotion also is a part of a pure devotional service. Not just serving the person on who is only pure. Right? Because the pure devotee only instructs us to serve all the Vaishnavas. So Guru is a pure devotee. Guru is engaging us in the service of so many other practicing devotees. So, is it not service to pure devotee? So, pure devotee is instructing us to render some service, and that service may be service to practicing devotees, but that service is pure devotional service only for us. So, for us, alignment with the instructions of pure devotee proposes. Bhagavatam is saying, who introduced us, who taught us Bhagavatam? Prabhupada. And then, who taught us Prabhupada's Bhagavatam? Our Guru. Right? So, there are representatives, there are devotees in the line. Right? At every stage, some devotee is representing the previous line. So, if we just say, the top person is the pure person, all the representatives I don't consider. Because I am also a person. So, that is a bit subjective.
Saying because when we read Shastra, it's not a vague definition. Pure devotee means for every stage there are symptoms given by Acharya.
Simple point.
It's not about
pure devotee is giving us some service. And that service is service to say practicing devotees. Is it not pure devotional service? It's following the.
There is not a doubt about it. But I am saying that this thing happens when then person feels that, okay, now we are seeing the symptoms. Then person needs more inspiration because he is seeing the symptoms.
That's subjective. So we discuss the principle, and then if an individual has certain feelings, that he has some desires to render service to only certain type of devotees of that flavor, that is subject to, that is a discussion about that particular individual. So he can always discuss in a private forum and then do the meeting about it. But the principle is, so service to practicing devotees who are trying to become pure devotees doesn't put you out of the realm of pure devotional service, doesn't contradict the definitions of pure devotional service given in Bhagavatam and Bhakti Rasam.
That is not at all confusing because Gopi Bhartur Padakamala Das Das Asanubha. There is no confusion about that. That we have to become servant of each and every devotee, human being, living entity. That is not a doubt. Doubt is it that it goes through pure devotee, serving through pure devotee, we'll able to serve other Vaishnavas in right consciousness.
Service to pure devotee
and
Krishna.
Like
enable us to serve.
Maharaj, consciously serving the pure devotee of Guru Srila Prabhupada, to be able to serve other Vaishnavas with the same consciousness. It's like
we can serve Vaishnavas properly and consciously, then we'll get eligibility to serve Guru. It's like bottom to down, not top to bottom.
Guru might be far, but consciously serving, okay, I'm serving him by serving him.
That's it. Oh, yeah. Service to Vaishnavas is service to Guru also. Because the service to Vaishnavas is rendered under the direction of Guru's instruction. Yeah. Did I get your question properly? Does it make sense? Yeah. Like we can't just, Prabhupada writes clearly, we can't jump into the service of Krishna directly. We should serve Guru first. So we can't serve, may not be able to directly access Guru directly. So we serve Guru's representatives. Right? Anyone has any comments on this discussion? Prabhuji? Antarji Prabhuji? Prabhuji has some point. Just it reminds me a story of in Srirang, in Kanchipuram, where Varadaraja Swami was one of the devotee, good example, was fanning the Lord, and one of the person who was that playing, that is called Tuturi, so that he was doing that kind of service at the gate. So he asks him, since you are fanning the Lord every day, so can you ask the Lord that will I go back to Godhead, this kingdom? So then he goes and asks, because actually while fanning, he was conversing the Lord. I think it was Mahapurna. He was conversing the Lord. Kanchipur. So he was conversing the Lord actually, practically every day. So when he asks, so about him, I'm sure he will go to back to Godhead. So he conveys them. So next day he thinks, well, I should ask about myself also. So when he asks, the Lord says, about you I cannot guarantee. Because you have to serve my devotees first. So he go back and start serving the Vaishnavas. So just reminds me of this story.
Beautiful, sir. Very fitting to the context. Recently, a GV, Hiswaranya Sadhana Maharaj gave one class. I think it's a festival class. Somewhere close to Akeshka Madhavendrapuri, I think. It was the new kitchen opening. For us, a G. So, Ramkumar Pandaji also came. I was busy moving around, but I have heard few points from class. During class, I was getting SMS. Bhagavatam class. Okay. I got up from Maharaj's class, and then Gauram Prabhu SMS me, so I just did the needful, and then sat again. So, by the time 15-20 minutes happened, Maharaj at that time only was making the point. So loving Krishna also means loving Krishna's, loving whom Krishna loves and loving those who are loving Krishna and those who are trying to love Krishna. Three things he said. Love of Godhead means loving Krishna, loving those people whom Krishna loves, loving those people who are trying, are endeavoring to love Krishna. He was just making this point. So, I can just give one more example, just sharing. That was the first Bhagavatam class that Radhanand Maharaj has ever given in Govardhan Eco Village. Before Vrindavan Vihari's installation, maybe it was in 2012 or 13, in Govardhan Hall and the terrace. So, he was giving class, somehow sound system was managed to be kept proper. We have one devotee, Neela Krishna Prabhu, at that time Nitin Savant. So, he took care of the sound system and then things happened properly. So, GV means lot of construction always. So, as Maharaj was giving class, some very loud construction sound was happening. Right? So, that is really distracting the class. So, when that sound happened, there are some 100 people there, everybody looked that side. Everybody looked that side, not a single person got up. So Nitin Savant Prabhu just, Neel Krishna Prabhu just got up, ran towards that place, and within 2 minutes he managed to stop that sound and came back. And remaining 99 people heard the class. Now, he must have got up from the class. He must have missed 2-3 minutes of class. Or he didn't know when he was going, he didn't know how many minutes he is going to miss. It could be 5 minutes, it could be 1 hour also. He went, but because he did the needful, all the other 100 people got the opportunity to hear the class nicely. So sometimes the service requirements are such that, unfortunately, the sound should not have happened. But when it happens, spontaneously you may have to do some service. So service to Vaishnavas also is service to Guru. And Maharaj was pleased. All the devotees were also pleased. Okay, I think we consumed the break time, but still, any question? We have any question? Maybe after 10 minutes, when we meet again, we can continue Q&A before we go to the next verse. Thank you.